This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Debbie Elliott. When leaders of the Group of Eight industrial nations hold their summit in Germany this week, climate change will be high on the agenda. European leaders want the U.S. to take stronger action to combat global warming. After he took office, President Bush took the U.S. out of the Kyoto Protocol. But in the days leading up to the G8 summit, he's been signaling readiness to re-engage in the fight to curb greenhouse gases. He briefly outlined his plan in his Saturday radio address.
Under my proposal, by the end of next year, America and other nations will set a long-term global goal for reducing greenhouse gases. And to meet this goal, we must help developing countries harness the power of technology.
President Bush has been a lightning rod for criticism from environmentalists, but historically, Republican presidents have played an important role in promoting environmental causes. Jay Brooks Flippin has written about this. He's professor of history at Southeastern Oklahoma State University and the author of the books Conservative Conservationist and Nixon and the Environment. He joins us now. Professor Flippin, let's begin with Teddy Roosevelt, a Republican president with a legacy of conservation. Was he the first American politician to bring the environment into the public consciousness?
Indeed he was, Miss Elliott. Teddy Roosevelt was president in the early 1900s. The West was closing up. It was obvious that we might run out of the resources we need, and so a movement grew to use the resources we have wisely, and this is the dawn of the conservation movement. And he pushed Congress to enact some important legislation. The Newlands Reclamation Act provided for the construction of dams and canals. He used the Antiquities Act to expand the acreage in the national forest. It went from 42 million to 172 million during his presidency. He added 51 national wildlife refuges, and he organized the first conservation conference. So he really put it high on the national agenda.
And where did it go from there?
Well, for much of the 20th century, when the problems of urbanization and industrialization became apparent, we became more of an ecological concern, more of a concern to protect nature from man. Throughout this entire period, it was bipartisan largely. And this led to Richard Nixon and sort of what we consider the peak of American environmentalism.
You know, I think a lot of people don't think about Richard Nixon in the context of his stewardship of the environment. That's not the first thing that comes to people's minds when they think of President Nixon. But he did preside over the creation of the EPA. Tell us a little bit about his administration and environmental policy.
Richard Nixon cared first and foremost about foreign policy and sort of delegated much of his domestic policy. But he recognized that environmentalism was sweeping the public. And he saw this as a way to win votes, particularly among young people who were alienated from his administration because of the Vietnam War. So he embraced environmentalism, and through that embrace, we see the passage of the Monumental National Environmental Policy Act. We have new clean air legislation, clean water legislation, pesticides legislation, legislation to protect ocean mammals, and all these new regulations slowly began to alienate business. He began to back away from his embrace of environmentalism and began to assume that the environmentalism was a wide issue but not deep. By that I mean, yeah, people cared, but they'd always vote on pocketbook issues. And with the energy crisis in 73, 74, he really sort of sped up this retreat. And what I would argue is that this retreat is the beginning of a split in the party's role on environmental issues.
Where did the Republican presidents who followed Nixon fall along that path? Did they fall away from environmental issues? I'm thinking Ford, Reagan, the first President Bush.
Gerald Ford is sort of inherited the energy crisis, and he remained sort of a moderate, but Ford sort of continued Nixon's retreat. When you get to Reagan, Reagan assumed that environmentalism was not an important issue politically at all, and he rhetorically and otherwise attacked environmentalism. But what happened was the membership in environmental groups tripled, and it became apparent that the environment would not fade as an issue. And so what Reagan began to do in his second term is Reagan began his own sort of retreat from his attack on environmentalism, if you will. Bush, the elder, came in and was indicative of the moderate Republicanism. We see the Clean Air Act, strengthened. And when you come to our present president, George W. Bush, I argue that Bush has embraced environmentalism rhetorically, but in actual policies, whether it's the healthy forest initiatives or the clear skies proposals or the recent promise to combat global climate change, I think we need to approach this with a healthy degree of skepticism given his record.
Were you surprised to hear him shift his stance on global warming this past week?
Not really. He isn't running for election, and any of the implementation of any agreement that's reached will be for the next president. Undoubtedly, he's worried about his legacy on global warming. For much of the science, there's been a consensus that man contributes to global warming. But in the public's eye, it's only been fairly recently that we see a consensus that we're contributing. So a lot of pressure is coming to bear on the administration to act. And I think that sort of forced his hand.
Jay Brooks Flippin is the author of Conservative Conservationist and Nixon and the Environment. Thank you for speaking with us.
Thank you for having me.